I opened my notes this morning, and I am relieved to see that the text that I have in front of me is the one that's in the bulletin for the AM sermon. As all have witnessed, I called out songs and then started singing another one. But I'm happy. I'm content. I am content. As you turn to Philippians chapter 4, verse 11, which will serve as our text, for a number of reasons. I am content because I am standing here with a fan blowing on me. As you know, I'm a hot-natured person most of the time, and I have installed a fan, and it feels real good, and I enjoy it. I'm content because you are here. I'm content that we have some old friends with us, and we have some young friends with us. I'm content because mostly because we are gathered to hear the Word of God and have that opportunity. As we turn to our text, we need to be reminded that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. So in Philippians chapter 4, verse 11, the Apostle Paul, writing to the Philippian brethren there, says, "Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content." Sometimes it's hard to be content. Sometimes it's real easy to look at all the negative things, all of the downside, if you will. A businessman once heard a beggar say that if I just had $100, I'd never again complain. The businessman walks over and says, "Did I hear you correctly? Did you tell me that, or did you say that if I had $100 that I would never complain again?" He said, "That's what I said." He reached in his pocket, pulled out some money, gave it to him, $100. And as he walked away, the beggar said, "Wow, I should have asked for $200. We're never satisfied. We seem to never be happy. And we have a great deal to be happy about. Oftentimes it seems that we're never satisfied with our possessions. If I could only do a little bit more and get a little bit more. We're never happy with our lifestyle. We're often dissatisfied with other people. I've often heard people say, "If I didn't have to deal with people, I'd be happy." Well, get a cave. Move in. Be a hermit. Eventually, though, you're going to have to deal with people. We always want more. We're often dissatisfied and discontent over events, things that happen. Sometimes things that we have absolutely no control over whatsoever. Bobby McFerrin had a song a few years back, "Don't Worry, Be Happy." We need to understand that for us to be content, we need to let go of the things which we cannot control and work real hard on the things that we can. Because the one thing that we can control is ourselves. Once had a friend who would often comment about his wife. And he would do so in this way. He said, "I never wake up grouchy. I just leave her in the bed." And some people get up that way. I often get up and I need 30 minutes or so to get my brain working before I want to carry on a happy conversation. My wife has cured me of that pretty much. And so if you call first thing in the morning, I'm going to try to be happy. But I want to bring to your attention this morning some scriptures on contentment. Let us first turn to Luke chapter 3 and verse 14. We'll see that some soldiers had asked what type of activities or how should they conduct themselves. And it tells us there, "And the soldiers likewise demanded of him, saying, And what shall we do? And he said unto them, Do violence to no man, neither accuse any falsely, and be content with your wages." What a hurdle that is. I don't know anybody. Let me take it back. I know very, very few people who are content with their wages. If I could take everybody and buy them for what they're worth and sell them for what they think they're worth, I'd never have any money worries in my rest of my life. But notice what he said to these soldiers. "Do not violence to any man, neither accuse any falsely, and be content with your wages." When we agree to work for something, don't gripe about what you make, because that's what you agreed to. Now, there are chances or situations when you were passed over for increases and that sort of thing, and that occurs to all of us. But be content. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 6 through 8, we see as the Apostle Paul is writing to this young preacher, and I know, because I am a young preacher, that it's easy to become discouraged. It's easy to look out there and you see people who don't care about their soul. Or you see people who just can't seem to understand that one day they will spend eternity in one place or another. And they seem to be putting forth no effort whatsoever that they might take hold on salvation. And it's discouraging. He says, but godliness with contentment is great gain. Verse 7, for we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. In other words, the necessities of life. If you have all that is necessary for you to exist, you really ought not to be able to find a way to be unhappy. Godliness with contentment is great gain. Many of us fall into the category of those who want to be happy, but we place our focus on being happy on stuff, things. Notice what he said, godliness with contentment. If we were to strive to be godly, I'll guarantee you'll be more happy. You might be a little unhappy when you find out that what you've been doing in the past wasn't quite so godly and you need to make some changes. But then once you make the changes, you'll be happy. You'll be content. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5. As the Hebrews writer is writing to these brethren, he tells them, let your conversation or your manner of life be without covetousness. In other words, not desire what everybody else has. And be content with such things as ye have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Now you might not in this world have the same that everybody else has. This world is not a very fair place. But you can be happy knowing that God will not leave you, will not forsake you. As we have noticed these particular passages, let me point out a few enemies to contentment. Often there are things that are tearing down our happy walls. There are things that are tearing down the things that would make us happy. What are some of these things? Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5, as we already pointed out, covetousness. When we notice that we want so much, and we're unhappy because we don't get, we need to realize that we're being covetous. There's nothing wrong with having things, but there's something wrong with wanting things to the point that we're unhappy because we don't have them. True commitment is to be happy with what you have and not be worried over things of this life over which you have no control. As we have read in the passage, God will not forsake you. If we place our focus upon heaven and we strive for that, we will truly be happy. In Romans chapter 13 and verse 9, we see also an admonition against covetousness. He talks about some of the passages in the Old Testament from the Decalogue, the Ten Commandments. He said, for this, thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. When reading this, it came to my awareness that most of the Ten Commandments say, thou shalt not. Very pointedly, very directly. Thou shalt not do these things. It repeats it here in Romans 13, verse 9, says, thou shalt not covet. And covetousness causes us not to be content. That's a reason why we should not covet. In Colossians chapter 3 and verse 5, we see another passage which points out that we're not to be involved in covetousness. says, mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Stop and think about it. If you won't and you won't and you won't, you're not thinking that you are an idolater. But that's exactly what we are. Because we're placing something between us and God. We're placing so much importance upon stuff and things that we don't serve God. And we might very well be striving for happiness in this life. But if we do that, we will not have happiness in the life beyond. Mortify in that particular passage means put to death. In other words, set aside these things. Put to death these things which are upon the earth. Another thing that is an enemy to contentment is envy. What is envy? It's discontent at the excellence or the fortune of another person. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21. We'll see that we're to set these things aside as well. We're to put these things away because they restrict us. They cause us to stumble. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings. We're to put these things aside. We're to do away with these things. Why? Because they can harm us. It's hard sometimes when you look at the people of the world and you see how they are blessed. You see how they receive many wonderful things. They have these big fine homes. They have these cars. They have boats. They have a place at the lake or the mountains or whatever the case may be. And we say, why not me? But friend, we have a home in heaven if we will just strive for it. Another enemy to contentment is self-pity. Life cheated me. Pity wasted on self. Sometimes we tell our children, no, get up. You can't have a pity party. You can't feel sorry for yourself. We got things to do. In Luke chapter 15 and verse 9, we're going to talk for just a moment about the prodigal son that stayed at home. There was one who stayed at home. He did what Daddy said. He was there to harvest the fields. He was there to do whatever needed to be done while the other brother took his inheritance and he went and he squandered it. And as he squandered it, he thought himself to be happy for a little bit, and then he found out he was discontent. But we see there was a brother that remained at home. When the prodigal son came home, the father said, let's kill the fatted calf. This son who was dead is now alive. The other brother came and says, lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandments, and yet thou never gavest me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. In other words, he was feeling self-pity. He was not joyous that his brother, who was dead, was now alive, who was lost, is now found, had come home. He couldn't find joy in that. He couldn't be content in that. I didn't get my due reward. Complaining is yet another thing that is an enemy to contentment. You complain about something until you try it. I have for many years detested sweet peas. And the reason is because my mother made me sit at the table. I mean until dark 30. Until I ate those peas. The funny thing is that when my son came home over the holidays, our son, decided to put me on a diet, one of the first things he did was say, hey, let's have some peas. And I said, please. And I ate them, and they weren't so bad. And I hope that nobody fixed a big pot of peas for our meal today. But I complained about them until I tried them, and I go like, it's not the most terrible thing in the world. Once you try something, you find out that you like it. I wouldn't eat cottage cheese for years. It's okay. But some people complain. They complain because they're not happy, but they really don't know why they're not happy. It all comes down to attitude. An I can't be satisfied attitude. Again, let's go to our text. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 11. The Apostle Paul writing there, not that I speak in respect of want. In other words, he did not have needs, because I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. Now, consider, if you will, when you're thinking about attitude, the attitude of the Apostle Paul, whether or not he was traveling to another city, joyous because he had the freedom to do that so that he might preach the gospel, or whether he was in bound in bonds, in a prison, he still was content. Why? Because rarely was the case when there wasn't another prisoner. And if there wasn't another prisoner, there was a prison guard. There was somebody that he could talk to. He didn't have that "I can't be satisfied" attitude. In whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. Again, we can change some things. Some things we cannot. So what must we do? We must cultivate contentment. It's not something that is automatic. It's not something that just happens to you. You have to work at it. We took the opportunity the Wednesday night to sing some songs, to record some songs, to see how the congregation sounds. And I love you dearly. But we got work to do. But I'm still happy that you were here and that we were singing. My point is that it takes effort, it takes work. And cultivating contentment takes work. We need to count our blessings. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 18 tells us how we are to have an attitude of gratitude. We're to count our blessings. It says there, in everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. If you were to take a list, grateful and ungrateful, or grateful and unhappy, or blessings, or whatever, and have a list with a line, we all could probably fill up the line of the unhappy things faster than we can the happy things. But it shouldn't be that way. In everything, give thanks. In Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 20, we see another passage that tells us about giving thanks. It is important. It says, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. By the authority of Jesus Christ, we are to give thanks to God for all things. Now, are all things going to be like we want them to be? No, they're not. But in everything, there is a blessing. We need not fret over what we do not have. We do not need to be jealous of other people. Other people seem to just naturally be good at what they do. Some people naturally lose weight quickly. Some people don't. Some people have the ability to get up and speak. Some people don't. But we don't need to be jealous over what other people have, the abilities they have, the opportunities they have. Because while we're fretting over that, we're missing our own opportunities. We often need to stop and reflect over how it could be. I remember reading a story one time about a man who was upset, sad, depressed because he had no shoes. He came across a man who had no feet. It could be worse. We need to have a spirit of optimism. It hurts my feet to walk on the asphalt because I have no shoes. Can you imagine the pain this man would feel if he tried to walk? He has no feet. In Philippians chapter 1 and verse 19, the Apostle Paul is writing to the Philippian brethren, and he writes to them this same idea, this same concept. He says, "For I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ." Where was he? Why, he was in prison. He was locked up. But he was content. We need to learn about true happiness. Happiness is not based on possessions. It's not based on social circles. It's not based on the things that we have, the things that we're striving to have. In Ecclesiastes chapter 5 and verse 10, we see words given to Solomon. He that loveth silver shall not be satisfied with silver, nor he that loveth abundance with increase. This is also vanity. It's kind of like the old phrase of how people live. They get all they can all they get, and they sit on the can, and they're still not happy. He that loveth silver shall not be satisfied with silver, nor he that loveth abundance with increase. This is also vanity. What is this saying? We strive to get, and then we want more. We strive to receive, then we want more. We want bigger blessings. In Luke chapter 12, verse 15, there's a man who came to Christ. And he said, I want you to intercede over my inheritance. My brother will not split it properly with me. He won't do what's right by me. What did Jesus say to him? He said unto him, take heed and beware of covetousness. For a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. We need to appreciate the simple and avoid luxuries. And I say that, I don't mean go out and sell your cars and get a horse and buggy. In 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 8, Timothy was told, as Paul wrote to him, and having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. In other words, we've gotten the necessities. I once read a story on Sam Walton, who, if everybody knows who that is, was the creator of Walmart. And many years after he became a multimillionaire, he had a truck that was 20 years old. And somebody asked him, why don't you buy a new truck? He says, what's wrong with this one? He had the money. He could buy the dealership. But he was content. It got him from point A to point B. Nobody knew he was coming. They were looking for that brand new Ford F-150, all decked out and all that kind of stuff. That's not what he drove. He avoided the luxuries. He enjoyed the simple. And it turned out pretty well for him. In Psalms chapter 37 and verse 16, we see that a little that a righteous man hath is better than the riches of many wicked. Stop and think about that. These are words of wisdom that come from the Bible. A little that a righteous man hath is better than the riches of the many wicked. There are many, many other verses that we must leave out because time will not permit to talk about all the verses in the Bible that tell us how we can be happy, how we can be content. But we must trust in God. If you trust in God, you can be content. We need to be content with what we have, but we never need to be content with where we are spiritually. How do I become content? Spiritually, well, you've got to begin at the beginning. The Bible teaches us that we are to hear the word of God. In 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 16, the Apostle Paul writes to the preacher Timothy and says, take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrines. Continue in them. For in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. In Acts chapter 8 and verse 37, the eunuch is told that he must believe. Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. In Luke 13, 3 and 5, we see that we must repent. Jesus said, I tell you nay, but except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. We must also confess before men that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Romans 10, verse 9 says, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And we're to be baptized. Acts chapter 22 and verse 16. And now, why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Once we have done these things, we are truly happy. But do we want to remain happy for eternity? And that can be accomplished as well. The latter part of Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10 says, "Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life." If you're a child of God and you've allowed the world to make you unhappy, and you've done so to the detriment of your soul by allowing those things to cloud your mind to the point that you cannot be happy, you've lost your salvation. But there's still hope. God has told us in His Word for a person to return back to Him who has once been His child, that we must repent and pray. Acts chapter 8 and verse 22. "Repent therefore of this thy wickedness, and pray God, if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee." I don't know what your response might be this morning, but I want to give you some things to think about. I hope that I have given you some things to think about. But when you're contemplating your life, your existence, yourself, ask yourself, why am I not happy? You should be able to easily identify why you're not happy and work on it so that you might be content. If you want to truly be content, obey the gospel. Become a child of God. Begin today to faithfully serve Him. You may do so according to the things which the Bible has told us that we pointed out this day. As we open our song books to the selected song, I ask you, if you need to come, please come at this time.